So my name is Robert Craig. I'm Executive Director of Citizen Action of Wisconsin. And we're here today, as you know, the Joint Finance Committee is scheduling a highly controversial vote tomorrow to strip Medicaid expansion, taking the federal money to expand Wisconsin's Badger Care program and increase access to 82,000 people, to strip it from the budget. And so what we're talking about here is, once you start thinking about what the implications are for doing this, we need to start thinking about what the implications are for public health and for treatment. And we're releasing a report on opiate addiction and literally how denying Badger Care to 82,000 people and telling them they should be on private insurance — some of them are uninsured, some of them have managed to afford to be on the marketplace plans under the Affordable Care Act that are not intended for them, that are for people who are at a higher income level. And what this report shows, and it was done by my colleague at Citizen Action Wisconsin, Kevin Kane, who has an advanced degree in economics, is that literally in a lot of the private health plans, the anti-opiate addiction drugs, what's called medically assisted treatment or MAT drugs, are unaffordable, but they are completely affordable under Badger Care. And literally, we just had a witness who had to go in our other hearing, who pointed out that insurance companies literally, their goal is to reduce the amount of treatment to save money for their bottom line. You do that for someone who's addicted to opiates, and we had almost 1,000 opiate deaths 1,000 years ago. If you do that for someone who is addicted, you're literally, it literally can be a death sentence. And it greatly increased the likelihood of death, further, more addiction, relapse, et cetera, et cetera. And so the numbers that are in this report, which you will have access to, are very stark. A lot of the private insurance plans literally don't treat it as free preventive care. There are a handful that do. Most of them do not. And there's no reason for that. These are folks that are just above the poverty level. If you make them pay something like $3,000 a year, and these are the kind of drugs one of our witnesses is saying, and she'll be on the call, Candace Owley, in a couple minutes, it's like insulin for people with diabetes. Literally, a lot of people literally have to, in order to prevent addiction, take these drugs all their lives. And to charge them high rates of high copays literally is a barrier to treatment and therefore a threat to their lives. And so in addition to all the other reasons that have been advanced and to be advanced during the public hearings in the public square and tomorrow at Joint Finance for accepting the extra federal Medicaid expansion money to expand Badger Care, an additional important reason is literally the opiate crisis. And we're sitting here in the Capitol now doing this call, and people from both sides of the aisle have on and on and on again saying they want to address the opiate crisis that's ravaging communities across the country and across Wisconsin. Yet here we have one of the biggest things they can do to make treatment affordable for folks who can't afford it, people at an income level where paying thousands of dollars in deductibles per year literally is a barrier to treatment. They can make it affordable for them, and for political reasons, they're currently choosing not to. And so we could have more discussion of the study and the politics of this, but I next want to hand it over to a lawmaker here. We're sitting in her office, State Representative Melissa Sargent, who has been a fighter for guaranteeing health care as a fundamental right ever since she walked into the state capitol. Before that, I'm sure as well, but I noticed when she walked into the state capitol. Thank you very much, Representative Sargent.
It's a real honor to be on this call with you today, and I want to give a big shout-out to Citizen Action for their tireless work on this topic and so many others. It's imperative that we in the Capitol building hear the voices of our constituents, our bosses, the people of the state of Wisconsin, and realize that ultimately, at the end of the day, it's our job to raise up what it is that they're asking for into the policy realm and make sure that we're helping Wisconsin move forward in the best interest of all of our friends and neighbors in this great state. And unfortunately, for far too long, those voices have been silenced. We do know that the expansion of Medicaid in the state of Wisconsin, expanding Badger Care for our friends and neighbors in the state of Wisconsin, is at an unprecedented high for people across our state. Whether it's through our election cycles, through debates, and conversations that people had when they were campaigning, whether it's people who have showed out testifying at joint finance hearings, at listening sessions held across the state by their elected officials on both sides of the aisles, or through contacts in our offices, the message is loud and clear that the people of Wisconsin want us to accept these Medicaid dollars and expand Badger Care in the state of Wisconsin. And the fact that we have this new information about how it is that these dollars will impact the opioid crisis, the public health crisis caused by opioid addiction in the state of Wisconsin, is just one of the many reasons why it is that we need to be doing this. We know that by expanding Badger Care in the state of Wisconsin, not only will we be saving money, not only will we be bringing money into our state that is currently not being brought into our state, but we will be saving lives and increasing the public safety in our state as well. I know that health care is a fundamental human right, and that every Wisconsinite, regardless of where they live, what their zip code is, what their educational background is, whether they are in rural Wisconsin or in urban centers of our state, every Wisconsinite should have access to health care coverage that is affordable and comprehensive and at a high quality. We know that by refusing these dollars, that the Republicans are unfortunately denying life-saving coverage for our friends and neighbors across the state of Wisconsin. And I have permission to share that, you know, this is something that touches many of our lives, and unfortunately it has touched my family's life. My younger brother has been suffering for many years from addiction, and we have nearly lost him a number of times. It is egregious. Absolutely egregious that here in the great state of Wisconsin, where we have led on so many different issues, that we continue to put politics before the people of our state. That is morally reprehensible, absolutely reprehensible. Again, we know that we will save money. We know that we can be bringing money into our state. But above all, the people of our state deserve better. Healthcare is a fundamental human right. And we know that the people of the state of Wisconsin are asking for us to do this. Over 70% of the people of Wisconsin in a recent poll through the Marquette Law School have said that they support the expansion of Medicare, the acceptance of Medicare dollars, and the expansion of Badger Care into the state of Wisconsin. Quite frankly, that is a higher approval rating than most of my colleagues have in this Capitol building. For too long, our health care system has been rigged against the normal people of our state. It's been overpriced, and it's been fundamentally unfair. And it is my responsibility as an elected official and my colleagues' responsibility on the other side of the aisle, equally responsible as elected officials, to stand up for their constituents, stand up for the public safety of their constituents and the well-being of their constituents, the people of our great state. We know that health care is a fundamental human right, and we must work to protect it. Wisconsinites are asking for real solutions. They want us to put our families first. And by not accepting the Medicaid dollars and expanding Badger Care, it's not only unsustainable at a fiscal level, but it's morally reprehensible. It's past time that we act now. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Representative Sargent. I'm going to briefly turn over to our report author, Kevin Kane. I had to talk a little bit about the methodology of this report. It is available now on the Citizen Action in Wisconsin website at citizenactionwi.org. So, Kevin, turning over to you.
Hi, everyone. The way that we did with this report is we looked at specifically for those who are just over the poverty line, the people who are in the eligibility to be covered by Badger Care if our state were to expand Medicaid. We looked at all 742 silver plans, all the bronze plans across the state in all 72 counties, and we looked at how they treated with copays, co-insurance, deductibles, and even how they tier the certain drugs. How would somebody who makes just over the poverty line pay out of pocket for some of these prescriptions that try to take on opioid addiction, such as buprenorphine, naloxone, which goes by the brand name of Suboxone, which are all part of medicine-assisted treatments or medication-assisted treatments. We looked specifically at a 14-tablet supply, which can be either a full month or half a month, so not even that much. And we found that on average, Wisconsinites are paying 72 times as much as they would on Badger Care for that same supply, which is quite something considering that many people are on these drugs for a very long time, if not the rest of their life. And so these folks who are denied Badger Care are paying a lot more out of pocket. And this number changes substantially depending on where you are in the state. In places like La Crosse, it's only 22 times more. But in places like Rhinelander, Wausau, and Northwoods, it's over 111 times more than what you would pay on Badger Care for the same person. So all this information will be available on our website right now. We'll also email it around a little later as part of the press release, put it on Facebook and the like, and we'll also be here with questions if anybody has them.
Thank you very much, Kevin. And I want to see if any other reporters had joined the call since we started.
Yes.
Who is it?
This is Bev Kelly Miller.
Great. Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I have you on our speaker list, so we will yeah. we'll get to you. You're the next speaker after the next one. So,
okay.
I want to call on Candace Owley, the president of the Wisconsin Federation of Nurses and Health Professionals, and someone who just has spoken for the health professionals who actually know where the rubber meets the road and what it means to make care unaffordable and how important getting access to care really is. So. And Candace is an RN. So, Candace, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Robert. As Robert said, my name is Candace Owley. I'm the president of the Wisconsin Federation of Nurses and Health Professionals. As important, I'm a registered nurse. Really, this report today shows that by fully expanding Medicaid, instead of relying on just private insurance in the marketplace, we can save lives by making drug treatment affordable for hundreds of Wisconsinites with the opioid use disorder. Our members have seen that this epidemic is affecting our entire state and that no community is immune. Whether it's our members that work in rural and critical access hospitals or in the urban centers, the epidemic is everywhere. It's taken our state and our country decades to realize that this is, in fact, a deadly epidemic. But we now know that it is a public health crisis and that it is now one of the leading causes of death. More people die from opioid overdose than car accidents. And in our state alone in 2017, we saw almost 1,000 opioid deaths. We know that we see despair and death all around us as we work in the front lines of care. But we also know there's hope because there is treatment for opioid use disease, and that treatment is referred to as many different things, but today we're talking about the medication-assisted treatment, MAT. We know that this treatment works, and sometimes upwards of 80% chance of success in treating opioid use addiction when you can get medication treatment. But for this drug treatment to be successful, the drugs have to be affordable. The report today shows that the cost of a two-week treatment is beyond the reach of hundreds of patients. But the fact the report grossly understates the actual cost because many, if not most, with opioid disease know that it's a chronic disease and it has to be treated as such, which means months, perhaps years, of medications. We think about it as not unlike diabetes, a chronic disease that requires insulin. And so we have to look at it in that way, a long-term use of medications. So we knowing that it works, knowing that it saves lives, medication is a major barrier that should make a decision by the politicians to expand Medicaid as simple as life and death, because that's exactly what we're talking about here. If our state expands Medicaid, thousands of our neighbors and our relatives will have affordable drug coverage, and the state, of course, will have millions of additional funds so we can expand a wide variety of treatments, such as mental health and counseling services. We know there's wide agreement that drastic action is needed to address this public health crisis. There should be wide agreement on Medicaid expansion as part of that treatment. I'm a nurse, and nurses take an oath to protect and care for our patients and our communities. And I am here on Nurses Week, in fact, to do just that and to make clear that the failure to expand Badger Care is a death sentence for many in our state. The cost of the drugs for a person with no insurance or a high deductible plan is cruel and immoral, and no politician should be able to sleep at night knowing they had a chance to save lives but turned their backs on their communities. So we're going to keep urging our state representatives to put their partisan politics aside. Remember that health knows no partisan politics. It's just people. And ask them to do the right thing. Ask them to take action to expand Badger Care and not strip it out of the budget so that thousands of Wisconsinites can get the care and the life-saving medications they so desperately need.
Thank you very much, Candace. I want to turn it over now to Bev Kelly Miller, who is on the phone from Appleton to speak to this issue. So, Bev, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity. On April 14th, 2015, at 5 o'clock, I received a phone call that no parent ever wants to receive. And that's when I learned that my youngest daughter, Megan, age 22, died from a drug overdose that was later identified as a heroin overdose. And it started with the pain meds. And so oftentimes that's the journey. They get the pain meds, then they go on when that is the supply is taken away. Then they go on to use heroin. And so my daughter was in the court system, and she was denied medication by the judge. So the, but also not just insurance, but the judges are also denying this. And really, it's crucial to get that medication. And she would have, she had a prescription for Vivitrol. And that, this was 4 years ago. And so then, it, you know, she was also denied inpatient treatment when she was sentenced for 4 felony counts involving heroin. And so the judge denied her that for 9 months, even though my insurance at the time would have paid for her to go to treatment. And inpatient treatment is a right. I mean, you should be able to go. And the reason he said is because the time for treatment was when Megan was a teen. And so it was $5,600 to send her there. And, you know, like, people need to have access to inpatient treatment. They have to have access to medication and expanding Badger Care to include people who do not have the means to get insurance. You know, thankfully, the Affordable Care Act included people who are 26 and under our insurance, and my daughter was covered. But had she had to be on her own, she would not have had coverage. And so, you know, Badger Care would have helped. But, you know, we focus on this epidemic, the opioid epidemic, but actually people are, you know, it's a bigger picture of substance use disease. And so alcohol, more people die from alcohol than they do from opioids. And my family has had addiction in our family for generations. And so really it's essential for us to include people to get the help that they need through Medicaid expansion, which would open up that door for people to be covered. And there was one other point I want. Oh, like in 2017, they list 926 overdose deaths involving opioids, but our state actually has 1,177 people overdose from Xanax and cocaine and other drugs. So that picture needs to also be painted for the politicians to know that this is a huge, huge issue, and it is impacting their own families. So I'm here to say we need to expand Badger Care for that medication for treatment and for inpatient treatment also.
Thank you, Bev. That was great. I want to now turn it over to Joe Gailey, who is a peer recovery coach for Safe Communities. Also point out to reporters in this call that Wisconsin and I covered our Capitol press conference a few minutes ago, so it should be up on their website. You can see that press conference as well. But, Joe, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for taking the time on this wonderful Wisconsin evening to hear all our voices. My name is Joseph Gailey. I am a certified recovery coach and a Wisconsin certified peer specialist working for Safe Communities. I am a person in sustained recovery from an opioid use disorder. I finally just read this report, looked it over. I didn't need to look at it to know firsthand, being on the front lines, how big of a barrier this is that affects us as people in the community as a whole. We are human beings, and denying us, you know, access to the medication that we desperately need to be productive members of society and the state and communities is just appalling to me, actually. Now that I look at it, it is kind of sickening. Like I said, being on the front lines of it, I work every day and giving some people hope that, you know, there's hope out there, and then having to make a few phone calls to find out that they cannot afford the medication that they desperately need to change their lives around and give them a chance to sustain healthy recovery and relationships and be a part of home health and community is not right in my eyes. Not only that, if you're looking at it from a financial standpoint, when I was entering recovery, it happened to me and thousands of people that I know and hear about. They can't afford the medication, they can't afford the plan, so their best option is, well, I'll just quit my job so I can get the medication I need. Then you're taking money away from not only communities and people that are paying taxes and that want to be productive and have a purpose, now you're just taking that away from them, and I don't think that is fair by any means. So I hope everybody can come together and find grounds to put this through and make sure that everybody who desires to use medical-assisted treatment has the opportunity. Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Joe, and thank you for that very direct firsthand knowledge. That's critical in this debate. And you just told me something I didn't know. We've heard a lot of stories of people in other walks of life deliberately impoverishing themselves to stay eligible for Badger Care, to stay in poverty. We've heard it about home care workers turning down hours, but now you're telling us that people who have addictions are impoverishing themselves deliberately in order to stay, in order to be able to get access to medication. So that's just stunning and shocking. So thank you for sharing that with us, Joe. I now want to turn it over. Our final speaker is Mike Sheridan. You remember Mike, I'm sure, because he's the former Assembly Speaker, but he's been working a great deal on addiction and substance use disorders over the last year and a half, and he has some thoughts to share, and he obviously understands the legislative process and what in the budget process as well. So, former Speaker Sheridan, thank you for joining us.
Good morning, everybody. I left the legislature about 8 years ago, and about a year and a half ago had the opportunity to get involved in, as a recovery coach, and I started as a volunteer and then got hired on with a group down in Rock County, and it's been a real eye-opener. I always tell people, I say that my 6 years in legislature was just in preparation for what I'm doing now, because what I find is people, as I go into emergency rooms and I meet with people, and as a recovery coach, we walk with them and we work with them to try and get them back on their feet and have a new life. And one of the biggest frustration is all the waiting lists that they have to get them in, whether it's to get them into treatment or get them on medically assisted treatment. There's waiting lists everywhere we go. And so what I realize is that by working with people, what I call working in the trenches and working with people that are really suffering from this, that they want to get better, but they run into roadblock after roadblock. And so it's very frustrating. And I can tell you, I'm working with a gentleman right now. He's 63 years old. What he's trying to do is get an apartment so that he can continue to in his recovery. But one of the setbacks is it's costing him nearly, I think it's about $500 a month just for the treatment that he's in, as far as getting Suboxone so that he can stay clean. And he desperately wants to stay clean. And, you know, the problem is that people don't get the treatment, whether it be inpatient or outpatient, or if they don't get the hospital services that they need, or they can't get their medicine that they need, they're going to be hitting the streets again. And I've seen it happen. One of the most frustrating things that I saw happen about a month and a half ago is a young man, 34 years old, that I'd been working with, couldn't get the treatment that he needed, overdosed and died. And that's what's happening out there. And it's very frustrating. So this is a nonpartisan issue. This absolutely should be a nonpartisan issue to get them the medical assistance that they need. And I'm encouraging the Republicans not to turn this down, and that they need to accept this. And I know that it's hit them too. It's hit their families. You know, it's hit their friends, and most of all, it's hitting people in their districts. And so I would encourage people in their districts, and we're going to continue our efforts to go out into those districts to make sure that the people that are suffering and struggling with this, and it's hitting all aspects of life, and whether you're rich or poor, educated, it doesn't matter. It's hitting everybody. So we need people to be calling their legislators and making sure that they're on board with this, because it just makes sense. How can you turn this money down? It's money that we paid. It's money that we paid in our own taxes that goes to the federal government. Let's take it back.